for his Jewish friends and family, and he wanted them converted to faith in Jesus like he had just been converted. He also knew that there were some of them that had been convinced in their head about Jesus being the Messiah, but yet they didn't have Christ in their heart, and he was afraid they would turn back to the excitement of the old temple worship and all that was going on still with that temple worship and all the fun and festivities of it. And he was writing too to believers that were truly saved, but that they had doubts and they had discouragements and they had difficulties in their life and their faith was being attacked, and he was afraid that they might be discouraged and quit going to church, quit coming out thinking it was not important, it was not valuable anymore in their lives. And so he wrote this letter to these people, and he found out that some of the followers of Jesus Christ had already left the church and gone back to the old temple worship that many of the Jews were involved in. And he knew there were those that were tempted to lose their grip on commitments that they made to the Lord because of their doubts and their discouragements. And they were tempted to just kind of lose their grip and eventually drop out altogether. You know, it's not where you are, it's what direction are you moving in. Some people are moving gradually away from the Lord and away from the church and away from their commitments. Some people are coming back and going the right. Where are you right now? These people, many of them were moving back and away. And he wrote this to cause them to continue and stay with it. Stay with the church. Stay with their commitments. I wonder this morning, have you been tempted to let go of your commitments to Jesus Christ? Bible reading, prayer, soul winning, work of the Lord, coming out to church. Have you been tempted, maybe thinking it's not really that important, other things are more important, other things are more pressing, I'm more into those things? You know, you can lay hold of eternal life, or you can kind of let it slip. Not that you can lose your salvation, but you can lose the reality of it. Have you been discouraged by the lack of faith in other people around you, and that they have lack of interest in listening to you about the things of your faith? Have you felt discouraged by your own failure to do right and keep by living by God's standards of doing right? And have you been maybe feeling like you're getting tired of putting up with, I should say you're getting tired, yeah, but the Lord is getting tired of putting up with your repeated sins and failures? So I want to look at Hebrews 4:13, first of all. Notice what it says there in verse 13 of Hebrews 4. I'll read it. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Do you think about the fact that God reads your mind, that God is with you, and when you're all alone, nobody else is there. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're looking at on the screen. He knows what you're thinking about. He knows what you're texting. He knows every motive, everything. Everything is naked. You can't cover up from God. He sees everything. You're all naked before him. Not only physically, he can see your nakedness, but mentally, spiritually, he knows everything you're thinking about. You say, "Well, Pastor, when I think about God knowing everything, that scares me, and maybe that makes me discouraged that God is sick of me and sick of my failures. And why should I continue if God knows all about me that way?" And I felt this morning that we needed a message on why you should continue, why you should not back away, why you should not try to get away from your commitments. Why you should continue. And I want to look at three reasons from Hebrews 4, now going on to verse 14 through 16. Three reasons why you should not give up or even slacken your commitments to God and to Jesus this morning. I want to encourage you to stay with it. The message is why you should continue. Number one, because of your incomparable high priest. Look at verse number 14. I'll read it. It says there, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You have a reason, number one, to continue and stay with it because you have a high priest like nobody else. Catholics are excited about the fact that they have a new pope. How many have heard about the new pope? And they're all excited about that. But you know, the Bible says that our rock is not their rock. Our rock, capital R-O-C-K, the Bible says, is not their rock, small R-O-C-K. You see, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you know, your name is Petros, and upon this Petra, I will build my church. In other words, Peter, you're just a little pebble. You're just a little stone. And that's your name. You're Peter. It means a little stone. He said, I'm not building my church upon that. I'm building my church upon Petra. And what's Petra? That Peter had just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, the Catholics build their church, the Catholic Church, that means the universal church, on a man who they install over there in Rome when the smoke comes out of the chimney and the cardinals get together and said, this is your next pope. And they build their church on that. That's the Catholic universal Roman church. But you see, our church doesn't have the pope as the head. The head of our church is Jesus Christ. He's not over there in Rome. He's actually everywhere as God, but he's in the New Jerusalem. He's passed into the third heaven, you see. And that's what it's saying here, that our priest, our high priest, is greater than their high priest. And the same was true of the Jews. They had a high priest just like the Catholics, and he would get old and dottery, and then he would die, and they would get another one, and so on and so forth. I want you to know that our high priest never gets old. He never dies. You might not be able to get a hold of the pastor right away. You might not be able to get a hold of a priest right away, but our high priest ever is available. He's available 24/7. He's available to you, and that's why you can continue because he is there. And by the way, he's got a better sacrifice than they have. In the Jewish religion, they had to do animal sacrifices and repeat them year by year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and they had the daily morning and evening sacrifices. But Jesus, our high priest, offered one sacrifice forever, and that was his blood and his death to pay for your sin. You see, your sin has already been paid for. It doesn't have to be repeated. Now, what does the Catholic priest do? Every time they get together, they do the Eucharist. And what do? They ring a bell, bing, and they break the Eucharist, and it is supposed to be the breaking and offering of the body of Jesus. And transubstantiation, it turns into his physical body, and they eat it, and it's offered over and over again. Our high priest doesn't have to keep on offering a new sacrifice for our sin. Once for all, he paid for all of our sin. And he says it is finished. It is finished, and we can know that it is finished, and we have that wonderful high priest that finished it. And you know what? It says here in verse number 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Your high priest is human, but he's also God. You see, he's not just a mere man. He is God Almighty. I know people down in Florida, when I lived down there, they used to go to the priest and confess their sin to the priest. And you know what one of those priests did down there and he got in trouble? He took recordings of their confessions. And he blackmailed them with the recordings. And he had a real business going on there. I am so thankful that we don't have just a human high priest. We have a divine high priest. And he is Jesus, the Son of God. And you can pour out your heart before him and know that he is a high priest that can take care of your sin. And he has died and was buried and rose again for your sin. And you have a high priest that is like no other. He is incomparable to the Jewish high priest. He's incomparable to the Pope and to all of that. He is the one that ever is alive and is praying for you and never fails. And you say, well, what does that mean to me? Listen, if Jesus doesn't give up on you, why should you give up on him? If Jesus doesn't stop praying for you, why should you stop praying? If Jesus is here in church, because Revelation says that when the churches meet together, the Lord walks amongst the candlesticks. He's there. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Hey, if Jesus is here, why shouldn't I be here? If Jesus ever lives to pray for me, why shouldn't I keep praying? You see, if Jesus is the divine Son of God, if he's the high priest like nobody else, then I don't need to quit. I don't need to compare him to anybody else and feel like I'm on the losing team, and you don't need to do the same. You're not on the losing team. You've got somebody that is incomparable. He is the best thing that you ever got. When you got Jesus, you got the best gift you ever got. He changed the calendar, my friend. It was a different time, but everything after that has been A.D. Amen. A.D. After Jesus, in the year of our Lord. Amen. By the way, that's on our Constitution, in the year of our Lord. We are living in the year of our Lord. And I'm just so glad that I have him. I have people, they don't know him. They don't know about him. They don't know him personally. I talked to them. I was out yesterday and I talked to a guy maybe 10 years ago, and the guy is saying the same thing he said for 10 years. And I didn't go back there for 10 years because I realized he's stuck on stupid. And why should I go back? And then I finally came back and he's still right where he was 10 years ago. He's stuck on stupid. And then I went to another guy and same thing. I haven't seen him in 10, 15 years. I decided I'm going to go back and visit him. He's right there where he used to live. And I told him, I'm right there doing what I'm doing. It's the same thing I've been doing. And he said, that's great. I'm doing this. And he's telling me about all the good things in his life. Let me tell you, there's none good but God. Whatever you got, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have the best. He is incomparable to anything or anyone else. And the Bible says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are people that are learning, but they've never come to Jesus. They don't know him. They don't have a personal relationship with him. We have that personal relationship with the one who is real, and heaven is real. The Bible is real. People come to me and they say, man, the things that are happening, they sound like the things you've been preaching all my life. They're starting to happen. That's right. Jesus is alive, and he is our high priest, and he is coming back again. And all of the prophecies in his word are true, and what we're saying is true. But people are stuck on stupid. I hope you're not stuck on stupid today. I hope you realize that he's incomparable. So why should you go to work instead of going to church? You say, because work is important. Yeah, but the Lord is much more important. He is much more important. His work is much more important. His word is much more important. You need him. He is incomparable. Why should you put anything above him? Why should you quit on him? Why should you go away from him? He is incomparable. And remember, he said to his own disciples, he said, they're turning away from me. They don't like my word. They're turning away. They're not interested in me. And he said to one of his disciples, he said, what about you? Are you going to go away from me? Some of you this week, you've seen people that aren't interested in what you've got to say. They're not interested in Jesus Christ. They're not interested in the Word of God. Should that stop you from enjoying him? Should that stop you from being involved with him? No, he's incomparable. He's incomparable. So others may slacken on their commitments. So others may loosen up on their commitments. You tighten up because you've got somebody so much better than what they have and what the world has and what the Jewish religion had and what the Catholic religion had. You have a relationship with the one who is ever alive, who loved you, who's praying for you. Why should you quit on him? Why should? And Jesus said, will you go away? And one of them said, to whom else shall we go? To whom else shall we go? You say, I'm going to go to my wife and leave God. You're idiotic person. I'm going to go to my girlfriend and leave God. You idiotic idiot. I'm going to go to my man and leave God. You dumb cough. To whom else shall we go? Thou, Jesus, has the word. He died, yes, but he was buried, yes, but he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He spiritually is here this morning in this candlestick called the church. He's looking around. He knows all about you. He knows everything. He is incomparable. There's nobody or nothing like him. And he is on the throne. I remember I went to Israel. And I saw how God blessed Israel physically. And I couldn't help think of Joseph, who's a type of Christ. And he took care of the children of Israel when they came to Egypt. Remember that? He was dressed up in Egyptian clothes. They didn't even recognize him. And I heard a Jewish pastor come in there, and he was talking about how the church in Israel is growing and everything. But he said, it's like Joseph. He said, his brothers don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They don't see it. They don't know. You know, they're no longer in Hitler's ovens. Right now, he's blessing the nation of Israel. Right now, he's building it. By the way, what's going on in Iran and Donald Trump and Benjamin, that's God. He's taking care of Israel. He's given them victory over their Islamic, wicked, lying enemies. He's Jehovah God, the God of Israel. And I know Alex Jones says, well, he condemned Israel in the Bible. Yeah, that's under the law, Alex, but you need to know about the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, 2 and 3. And you need to be able to answer baby Christian Tucker Carlson, who doesn't have the answers from the Word of God, but he needs them. Israel is important. Jesus is alive. They had the wrong high priest, but... And they're gonna choose the wrong priest when the Antichrist rises. I know that. But in between, right now, God is expanding their territory. We're not into World War III, but Israel will have another war with the Sunni Arabs, the Muslims. And they're going to light off a nuclear bomb. And the Bible says they're going to hurt themselves as well as their enemies, but they're going to win that war. And they're going to conquer all the way from the river of Egypt all the way to the land of promise, all the way to the Euphrates River in Iraq, and at the border of almost at the border of Iran. I'm just saying to you that the Lord is watching out. Do you know you could be here today and the Lord's watching out for you, but you've never met Him as your Savior? You never put your faith in Him? Come to Him today. There's nobody else like Him. There's nobody beside Him, and believe in Him. That's what the problem with these Hebrews. Some of them had Him in their head, but they didn't have Him in their heart. Make sure you trust Jesus with your heart, because He is incomparable. There's nobody like Him. He will lead you through some hard times. Yes, He will test your faith. You may doubt He's there. You may doubt He cares. Let me tell you, He is there. Let me tell you, He still cares. Let me tell you, He'll never fail you. He can't fail you. He can't forsake you. He is the incomparable Christ. No reason to quit. That's why it said, let us hold fast our profession. You know what profession is? That means you're telling others about Jesus. You notice I'm still telling others about Jesus. You say, why are you doing it? Because He's incomparable. To whom else shall I go? Who is like Him? What is like Him? And what's with you? Why should you be anywhere else but here on Sunday morning and on Sunday evening and on a Wednesday? Where else? What's better than this? There's nothing better than this. You need to have your head examined if you think there is. He is the incomparable Christ. So that's why you should continue. But there's a second reason why you should continue. And it's because of your personal high priest. Not only is He incomparable, but listen to me. He is personal. Look at Hebrews 4:15. He's personal and incomparable. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's personal. You know, God is great. God knows everything. God is all powerful. God is omnipresent. God is eternal. He's unchangeable. There's nothing like God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But God can't really feel what we feel, can He? Well, you know what? God became a man. God the Son became a man, and He can identify and feel with the feelings of our infirmities. Was Jesus subject to death? Did He have a mortal body like us? Yeah. He never sinned, but He took on a mortal body just like us. He could feel sickness. Have you ever felt sickness? He could feel how that feels. He could feel weakness. Have you ever felt weak? He could feel that as He fasted. He felt very weak. He could feel tired. Remember, He was tired. And He had to sleep, and He kept falling asleep because He was tired. He was working all the time. I remember Brother Bob Bajewski, every time he sat down, he'd just go to sleep. I said, that man is working hard. I don't know why Elgin just doesn't fall asleep. I said, watch him working over here in the church. He should be on. There was a time I worked 5 jobs, and I'd be driving a van, one of my jobs, and I'd be slapping myself just to stay awake. See, Jesus knows how it is to have a pain. He had a pain in His hands and His feet and His back as they beat Him. He knows what it's like. Have you ever had somebody disrespect you? Did you hear me? Have you ever had somebody disrespect you? I've been in the ministry many years. I've lived many years, and I've had young pups speak disrespectfully of me. Call me this and call me that. And it kind of gets you. But I think of how they disrespected our Lord. They said His mother was a fornicator and that He wasn't virgin born. He came from her. She was a whore. That's disrespecting His mother and Him. They disrespected Him. They said things about Him that He was possessed by devils, and that's why He did His miracles. They disrespected Him. And the greatest disrespect of all, they spit in his face. That's the dirtiest part of the body. They took it and spit right in his face. Have you ever been disrespected? He can understand and feel that. Have you ever had a door slammed in your face or somebody tell you, go take a hike and get out of here because of you just trying to be nice to them and tell them about it? He understands that. He knows your pain. He knows your weakness. He knows all that you go through, and he understands it. He knows what it's like to have people not believe because his own brothers didn't believe in him, and they would say things against his faith, and it was just not having faith, and he knew what that was like. Did he ever quit? Didn't the Bible say he finished the work the Father gave him to do? Didn't he hang on the cross even though they nailed him to the cross? Did he quit? Did he give up on his faith? No. He said, it is finished. He finished the work. And then he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He never gave up on his faith. Listen, there's no reason for you, therefore, to quit. There's no reason for you to doubt and to give up on your faith because, listen to me, you have a personal high priest who understands you, not just as being God, but being your brother. You know, you look for members of your family to understand you. He is one of those that he said, I became your brother. You are part of my family. I am close to you. I understand your weaknesses. I understand your feelings of rejection. I understand even your doubts and your fears. I understand what it feels like to be forsaken, even by God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He can understand it when you feel like God is forsaken, but he says, don't doubt God. Keep trusting him. Don't give up on your commitments. Stay with your commitments. Don't give up witnessing and telling others. Hold fast your profession of your faith. Why? Because I'm not only incomparable, there's nobody like me, but I am personal to you. I am personal with you. And what a blessing that is to have him be personal with you. I had a friend of mine in college. He went on to the ministry, became a pastor for about 4 years. And then he stopped being a pastor. He just goes around preaches. That's pretty easy to do. He just goes around. He's a good speaker. He really is. He's a good speaker. But he told me, he said, I put my time in the ministry. 4 years, I'm done. I'm done with that. Well, I've been at it for 47 plus years, and I'm not done. You don't need to be done either with the church. Jesus loved the church. He died for the church. He prays for the church. He hangs around the church. You don't need to be done. He said, I will build my church. You can hold him to that. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I love it when just somebody new gets saved, whether it's downstairs or up here. Then they come forward, they get baptized. And then they say, I'm going to join the church. I want to be part of the church. Listen, that is a great blessing. When I got saved, I got baptized in a Baptist church. Then I joined the church, and I've been getting into Baptist churches ever since. And this one, I've been in it for a while, over 50, maybe 53 years. I don't know. It's been a while. Amen. And when I get done with this church, I hope to see Christ Church, you know. And that's going to be the Catholic Church. It'll be the Catholic Baptist Church of Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, he is personal. I remember a guy from Jamaica. I went to college with him. He went to Practical Bible College, and he went to Baptist Bible where I went. And this guy liked our church. And our first pastor, Charles Ware, he was a great friend of Charles Ware. And this guy was African from Jamaica. And he became a great preacher. His name was Winston Smith. And we used to have prayer meeting up on Clay Avenue because we didn't have a building of our own like this. So we'd rent a building for Sunday services. But for Wednesday, we didn't have a prayer meeting service. So we had an apartment that was donated by Tom and Rhonda Schaff. They were a couple. And we'd go pray up there. I remember Tom Williams climbed to the top of the stairs of that huge top floor on Clay Avenue and preached for us in prayer meeting up there. I remember some great prayer meetings we had there. I remember Winston Smith, and he'd pray, and one time he said, "Lord, we thank you, you're so real that we feel like we can just reach out and touch you." And you know what? He is real. Jesus is real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's like you can touch it with your spiritual hands. You can lay hold of it. He's real. He's personal. You can touch him. He can touch you and bless you and help you. Whatever it's you're going through, don't quit because of it. Whatever you're going through, just don't talk to other people about it and get counsel, although that's fine. But make sure you get to Jesus and let him touch you, and you touch him. I'm saying you don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. You don't have to even backslide anymore. Why? Because he is personal. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Make him your best friend. I don't know who you've chosen for your best friend. I've chosen Jesus as my best friend. And there's no better friend than Jesus. Let me tell you, friend. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never give up on you. And one day you will see him face to face. You'll be able to get a hug from him. You'll be able to talk to him personally and have him talk to you. And we talked about this yesterday. I think it was you that said it. One of the guys said it. He said that heaven, and he was quoting me, so I like it. He said, heaven, you'd get sick of the gates of pearl. You'd get sick of the street of gold, just looking at that gold. You'd get sick of all the beauty of heaven, just looking at it. You'd get bored with it. But what makes heaven, heaven is a person called Jesus. You'll never get bored with a person. He has got wonderful things for you. His name is Wonderful. That's who he is, Wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Everlasting Father, or the Everlasting Patriarch of Israel. He's just a person. He was there with Daniel in the lion's den. He was there with his three friends in the fiery furnace, my friend. And he'll be there with the Jewish people in the tribulation and with any of us that go through that time. He is there. He's never going to leave you. I'm saying to you, don't quit because he's personal. Don't quit because he's incomparable. But there's a third reason that is given here why you and I should not quit. But before I get to that, let me just say this about verse 15, him being personal, because I like this part about him being personal. Notice that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that's our weakness, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know what? He can talk to us and help us, and he helps us on a personal basis. I don't know what you're doing, but include him in it, would you? Let him in every area of your life. I was out yesterday knocking on doors, and I had a hard day on Busman Street. It wasn't easy. It was a slog. You had it too. It was a slog on your side. We both compared notes later on, and we usually tie in, and both of us, it was a slog. It was a tough one. And I got home, and I got family coming, and I realized somebody had left a lot of junk out there, not him. And I said, we got to clean that junk up. It's looking like a ghetto out here. And I got family coming. I'm tired. I got church Sunday and, you know, just been out all day and I'm tired. And it's a slog. And I said, I got to cut that lawn. I told my wife, I'm going to go out there and cut that lawn. Once I got up off my desk chair, I'm going to cut that lawn. I got to cut that lawn. About 2-acre lawn, you know, got to cut it. I hope the lawnmower starts. I hope it don't have. I got that lawnmower. I had gas. Didn't have to put the gas in there. You know, Ben, how you do. Fired that lawnmower up, but I had that riding mower, you know, and I'm going up. I'm starting to go. I'm just doing it. I'm hitting rocks and sparks are coming like I always do. And I'm just going with it. And I thought to myself, how am I going to get all this done Saturday night after bus? But I got to get it done. I'm out there and I got all this stuff to move. And out comes my daughter, Mindy, and she's moving stuff for me. Just where I need to move it so I can get it all cut. I'm going. But then I'm thinking to myself, it needs a lot of weed whacking. I'm not going to get that weed whacking done. I said to myself, Lord, wouldn't it be nice? And I included the Lord. If Matt McCorder, after he's exhausted and tired, and he comes out there and helps me weed whack, and you know what? There he came. As soon as I was just about, there's Matt with his glasses on. There he is with that weed whacker, and he's going, shh, and he's weed whacking everything. I'm telling you, this guy's a professional. You want to get landscaping done, he's good. And he did all that weed whacking, and then he got the blower out, and he's doing a blower, blowing all that grass off my driveway. And then I said to Matt, I had the audacity to say to Matt, you know, this guy left all this junk around here. Matt, I said, would you help me drag it? Yeah, I'll help you. And we're dragging some stuff out to the garbage. We're putting other stuff, you know, huge cardboard, heavy, in the fire pit so I can burn it, you know. And now it's not looking like a ghetto quite, you know. So my daughter comes in. But I'm just saying, Jesus is personal. He's personal. He cares for you. And don't quit. Continue because he's incomparable. Continue because your high priest is personal. And let me wrap it up. Because your high priest is powerful, all powerful. Look at verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, do you ever fail the Lord? Do you ever sin and fail him? And then you have to go to him for mercy. You know what mercy is? Not punishing us for what we deserve. Giving us forgiveness when we failed. Forgiveness when we sinned. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I get in a bad train. You know, the Yankees, they lost a lot of games every day. And I watch the Yankees, they're losing. And I don't like that. I'm not used to that. Yankees losing. But sometimes I get into that. And I'm losing and I'm failing and I'm sinning. And I'm going back to the Lord and say, Lord, I did it again. I sinned again. I failed you again, Lord. And sometimes you get the feeling that he's sick of you. But remember what Peter, Jesus said, you're to forgive your brother if he sins against you. You're to forgive him. Peter said, Lord, do I have to do it seven times if he sins against me seven times in one day? Do I have to forgive him seven times in one day? And he figured Jesus would say, well, not that many. But what did Jesus say? He said, 70 times seven. So sometimes I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm back again. I'm sorry. But you said 70 times 7. If you say you're wrong and you name the sin, you'd forgive. And you know what? He does. You can find mercy because of your great high priest. You won't get that from a priest or a pope, but you get it from Jesus. But not only that, he said he'll give you grace. What's grace? Grace is the power of God to succeed and not to fail. Grace is the power of God to stand and to overcome and to go forward and to overcome your sinful nature. And that's great when you get grace from God and you don't fail. I like what Brother Hiles said. He said this boxer kept getting knocked down and getting back up, getting knocked down, getting back up, getting knocked down, getting back up. He said, as long as you get back up, you're not a failure. I wouldn't call that boxer a success. He's like, getting back up. Sometimes I feel like that. I'm not a failure, but I'm not staying down. I'm getting back up. But then I say, Lord, now I want to also be a success. Give me grace to succeed in the ministry. Give me grace to succeed in the family. Give me grace to succeed as a child of God. And you know what? He can do that too, and he will do that too. And that's why you shouldn't quit, because you have a powerful high priest, you have a personal high priest, and you have an incomparable high priest that's better than anything that's out there in the world. And let me say this, if you don't have him, you can have him. He said, all the Father gives me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you want to come to Jesus? He said, I won't cast you out. He'll give you the water of life freely as a free gift because he paid for it. All you need to do is come to him by faith and say, Lord, I want that gift. I need that gift. Save me. And he'll do it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about our great high